Bible study, peace, power, purpose. Find out more at cwbs.org.
This is full-time Catholic radio for Southeast Michigan, 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at wdeo.net.
Today on More to Life, grrr. Everyone gets angry from time to time, but it's hard to know how to handle it well. Today we'll look at the one secret that enables you to manage anger, yours and others well. Stick around. You're listening to More to Life. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And we are talking with you today about anger on our show titled, Grrr. I figure that kind of says it all, right? Grrr.
Well, it can. That and if you get angry enough, a whole lot of other things that aren't as pleasant as just that sound. Anger.
Well, that's not a very pleasant sound either.
It can be worse than that. Anger is really a problem, and it seems to be a growing problem in so many areas. We've seen too many people who get so angry that it ends in tragedy. But too many of us live it just in our day-to-day lives, with our kids, with our spouses, in the workplace. Anger is not a whole lot of fun to be experiencing, whether it's inside of your head and heart or coming at you from somebody else's.
And yet the theology of the body gives us an interesting perspective on anger, as we remember that the body and biology in general is a theology, that God is working in our bodies and the way our bodies are designed, and our bodies are designed to be angry sometimes. What could God possibly be thinking by enabling us to become angry? Well, you know, as I argue in my book, Broken Gods, Hope, Healing, and the Seven Longings of the Human Heart, anger is that emotional experience of the divine longing for justice. That when we become angry, you know, the Holy Spirit is saying, there's an offense here that I want to heal, an injustice that I'd like to work with you to resolve. It calls our attention to something that is not right, that needs to be set right. But in order for our anger to enable us to fulfill that divine longing for justice, to respond well to that prompting of the Holy Spirit, we need to unite our anger to God's grace so that we can calm down enough and focus on those solutions that God wants to lead us to. And when we can do that, then we're able to do what the theology of the body challenges us to, which is to use our whole selves, including our emotional lives, to work for each other's good, to build God's kingdom, and ultimately to create a civilization of love in all of our relationships. So, you know, that's the role that anger plays in that whole process. And it sounds kind of idealistic.
It sounds impossible. Because when you say to people, well, your anger is given to you by God. You're designed to be angry sometimes. And people are like, wait a minute. You know, that doesn't sound very Christian. That doesn't sound how I'm supposed to behave. And I'm always supposed to control it. And I'm always supposed to push it back. And we even had one of our listeners who said, I don't get angry. I was never allowed to get angry. And so I don't. I stuff it all. And we're going to be talking a little bit today about what that means. And how that is truly anger, sometimes in its worst form.
That's true.
So we're going to be talking about that today. We're going to be talking about the anger that comes at you, the anger that you can't help but express because you just can't seem to keep a lid on it. If any of this is sounding like something that you're familiar with, we are here for you today on More to Life.
All those kinds of anger and more we're going to help you deal with gracefully. So give us a call at 877-573-7825. 877-573-7825. We've got two questions for you today. The first question, how do you feel or act when other people behave angrily toward you? You know, how do you respond when somebody's yelling at you or someone is kind of, you know, they've got it in for you in some way. They're upset with something you did and they're going to let you know about it. What does that do to you? You know, some people lash out. Other people sort of get really quiet. Other people get kind of afraid and get away from the situation as much as they can. Other
Many
people
of us get very self-rebuking and start attacking ourselves even worse than the person in front of us is attacking us.
How do you handle other people's anger when they display anger toward you? Are you pleased with your response to that anger, or do you need some help finding better ways to engage those angry people in your life so that you can work with them to find safe and effective responses to whatever injustice is that they are bringing up? On the other hand, you know, what do other people do that make you angry, that push your buttons? Do you feel like you respond well to those situations? And if not, well, we'd love to help you find more charitable, graceful, and effective ways to manage your own anger at the injustices in your life. 877-573-7825. You can also post your comments at facebook.com/more2liferadio. That's with the number 2, facebook.com/more2liferadio. And whether you respond on Facebook or you give us a call at our 877-573-7825 number, your name will be entered into our Book of the Week giveaway drawing. And this week we're giving away a copy of my new book, When Divorce is Not an Option, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. That's not a book just for couples who are struggling in their relationship. It's really a book for any couple that wants to discover the 8 habits that separate marriage masters from marriage disasters, and how any couple, including you, can create a lifelong, joyful love. You know, it's not easy to be married. It's not easy to face those challenges, but you can do it if you learn those habits that help couples manage their stress and the challenges of everyday married life more effectively. When Divorce is Not an Option is a book for everyone, because divorce is not an option for any married couple, is it?
Nobody got
married to get divorced, is
no,
what I'm trying to say.
Exactly. None of us go into this thinking, you know, I'm just going to get divorced when things get uncomfortable. Unfortunately, we see a little bit more of that in terms of even the preparation for marriage, with people, you know, saying, oh, well, we better get a prenup and we better do this and I'll love you unless. There's more of that, but at the heart of it, nobody wants that. Everybody goes into it wanting that happily ever after marriage that's going to last 80 years. I don't know if anybody saw this couple. It's going around Facebook and on the news. It's trending today. A couple married 80 years, and they are just the picture. You can see the love in their eyes. There's this picture of, there's their wedding picture, and then them on the couch, and they're all snuggled up next to each other, and they adore each other. That's what everybody really wants, a marriage that's going to be in love for that long. And it really doesn't take as much hard work as the world tells us it will, or that even some people will toast you at your wedding and tell you it will. It takes these habits, just day in, day out habits that make marriage so much better every single day that you're glad to be in it for the long haul.
Well, we're actually going to be talking about one of those habits today, because it happens to be the one thing, the one secret, if you will, that enables us to manage anger well. Because let's face it, in marriage there are lots of times when husbands and wives step on each other's toes, or when life throws you a curveball and it's easy to respond to those challenges in anger, you know. And so those couples who know how to manage that anger well do better, of course. They become those marriage masters that we all want to be when we grow up. So we're going to reveal that secret throughout the course of the program today on our show titled Grr, Dealing Effectively with Anger. Give us a call. How do you feel and act when other people act angrily toward you? And what do other people do that make you angry, that get under your skin and push your buttons? 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord. In the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence and we thank you for this opportunity to spend this hour with you. And we ask you, Lord, for your peace, because there are so many things in the course of our day that make us angry. The reality is, life is not as it should be. The world is out of order, and it has been ever since Adam and Eve took that first bite out of that forbidden fruit, and we experienced the fall. And that disorder resulted, the intimate union between you and us and your creation became infinitely disrupted, and our divine longing for justice went into overdrive as the entire world got turned upside down, and we experienced that longing as anger. And so, Lord, we ask you to take our anger and teach us how to use it as the tool that it's meant to be, the tool that leads us to seek graceful, faithful, effective solutions to the challenges that we face in our lives, so that justice can be restored, so that injuries can be healed, so that offenses can be addressed, and that we can exist in peaceful harmony as sons and daughters of God. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
So what are you angry about today? Who's ticking you off? Or for that matter, who's mad at you? And are you handling it well? Give us a call at 877-573-7825. 877-573-7825. You can also post at facebook.com/moretoliferadio.
Greg, we have a private message from Stephanie who says, "Hi, Greg and Lisa, thank you for addressing this today. I am the mother of four children, very spread out in age. My husband and I decided to bring our kids home 3 years ago to school at home after the older two had been in school for a couple of years, and it just wasn't working out for their benefit. I find myself getting angry because everything seems to lay at my feet. All of the schooling, all of the housework, the uncooperative nature of the children when they just won't stay on task with their schoolwork. My husband comes home at the end of the day and does his best to catch up with us, occasionally helps with the dishes, but he's tired too. I'm feeling overwhelmed. I start each day with a good plan in place, feeling like I want to take on the day, spend the day with my children, and teach them well. By the end of the day of lousy attitudes and too many interruptions from housework, I am angry, frustrated, and not the mom I want to be. What can I be doing to help this situation get better? Thanks, Stephanie in Michigan."
Stephanie, thanks so much for your message. We appreciate you sharing a little bit of your story with us, and we'll offer you some thoughts on how to get a handle on that anger and increase the peace in your home. You know, I'm glad to hear you say that you start out the day with a plan in place, but I guess I wonder, you know, is that plan reflective of your actual life, or is it more of a plan of what you would, you know, ideally like to get done if every duck was in a perfect row and everything fell into perfect place? Because I know in my own life, and also in talking with a lot of other homeschooling families, that's kind of what we do. We sort of set up this plan of everything's going to go perfectly today, and then we build a plan around that, not considering how things went yesterday, the day before that, the day before that, and the day before that.
You know, I think this is really true from my experience with other homeschooling moms, including my own experience as both a classroom teacher and a homeschooling mom. It's a real shift, and Stephanie's saying this, they're going into their third year here in homeschooling. This is a shift for any parent who went to school themselves and saw how the day went in a school setting. In a school setting, there is a marked time schedule. You do math from, you know, 9 to 9:50, and then you have a 4-minute break, and then you do English from, you know, 9 to 10 o'clock to 10:50, and it moves through the day, and everything seems to get done. But what you didn't see when you were a student was that teacher didn't always finish the entire textbook by the end of the year, and all that homework that you got at the end of the day was often stuff that was supposed to be finished in class but didn't get covered. And yet we as homeschooling parents think, well, if I just keep things trucking along, I'll be able to, you know, cover 5 to 8 classes during the course of any day, make a gourmet dinner, have the house, you know, perfectly clean, and be able to take my children to extracurricular activities that are supposed to give them all sorts of wonderful socialization and opportunities. And then diaper blowout, sickness, phone calls, actually having to make the dinner and clean the house all come into play. And instead of, as Greg is saying, really looking at how life works in our family that needs to be schooling at home, we just berate ourselves and get angry because it's not happening the way it's supposed to.
So what I'd suggest to you, Stephanie, is that you want to ask yourself, on your best day, you know, on a day where things are really going, when they are going well, but, you know, it's an average day, it's a real day, not just an imaginary day that you'd like to have, but a real day. On your best day in a course of a week, how much do you actually get done? What actually works for you? And use that as your pattern. You know, this is what we can do at our best. Now, that might frustrate you. That might say, but I'd like to be able to do so much more. I'm sure you would, and maybe you can work to that. But you got to start with where you're at and manage your expectations so that your daily plan actually matches what you're capable of doing when your ducks do line up in a row. And then ask yourself, what do we need to do to at least get to that place? Now, the other thing that I'm going to throw out here to you as a way of managing some of the frustration that you're feeling, a lot of homeschooling families don't appreciate this, and it's something that I remind all of my clients, and we've talked about this plenty on the show, too. You know, homeschooling families, they have a lot more in common with two career families than they do with your traditional stay-at-home mom families, okay? And if you try to think of yourself as a stay-at-home mom who also happens to be homeschooling, you're going to burn out. Because you cannot fit schooling in between all the groceries and the cooking and the cleaning and the everything else that a stay-at-home mom does. You're going to have to think of it the same way a two-career family does, which is, how are we, husband and wife, going to share household tasks or shop them out to somebody that we hire or make peace with the fact that it just ain't going to get done? Because that's what two-career families have to do. That's what homeschooling families have to do, because your first job as a homeschooling mom is teaching your kids. Right? That's your full-time job. And the other stuff gets done as you can. And you and your husband are going to have to reckon with that, or you probably will burn out in homeschooling, and you, because the anger is going to get to you, because it all just piles up, and you're not able to either school the way you want to or do your household stuff the way you want to.
Now, very briefly, Greg, Stephanie does mention that she's kind of getting blowback and attitude from the kids, and that's really hard for most homeschooling parents, because we know that we're working so much harder than the school system would to make learning at home more pleasant than the average teacher needs to make it in a schoolroom. And so instead of getting, you know, oh, Mom, thanks for making this so enjoyable, I just love doing math, I don't want to do math, because nobody wants to go to work. Nobody wants to work hard in school.
Well, and our kids don't know how much better they have it. They don't have a point of reference for it.
Well, her two older kids have somewhat of a reference, but it's still a difficult transition, even after a couple of years. So in the heat of that moment, where the kid rolls their eyes again or gives you some kind of blowback or doesn't stay on task, what can Stephanie be doing to keep her own anger under control so she can then manage the kid's frustration and blowback?
Well, the first thing is, I think that you're starting the day by talking to the kids about what the plan for the day is, so that she can get them to be kind of shareholders in the plan for the day. Not asking them, so guys, do you want to do math today? I mean, obviously they have to do math today, but she might say, would you like to do English or math first?
Mm-hmm,
right?
That's something I often do.
And just kind of giving them a preview of the day so that they can get a sense. Also, ask yourself, you know, are your kids the kids who do better if they do the hard subjects first, or are your kids the kids who do better if you put them a little bit later on in the day once they've gotten a chance to wake up, warm up, and get connected with you? You know, which pattern works better for you, or something else, right? Again, keep looking at those days that work. Why do they work? When your kids respond better to you, when you ask, you know, if you ask a kid to do this assignment on Monday, they respond well, and on Tuesday, they don't. What's the difference, right? Look at those differences that make the difference, and keep tilting yourself more toward those responses that actually work, as opposed to getting caught up in the frustration of these situations that don't. Without more specific information, it's hard to say exactly how to resolve all the conflict between you and the kids, but that would be a good general tip to keep in mind. And if there's more that we can do to help you out, shoot me another email or call us here on the program. You're listening to More to Life. We're Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak, and we're talking with you today about anger on our show titled Grrr. Everybody gets angry from time to time, and it's hard to know how to handle it well. So today, we're looking at some of those secrets that help us manage anger, ours and others, well, and how we can increase our capacity for dealing with anger gracefully. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. When we come back, we're continuing to take your calls about those situations that make you angry. If you're on the line, hang on. But if you're interested in learning a little bit more about handling toddler anger and little kid anger, Kim Cameron Smith from IntentionalCatholicParenting.com is going to join us to share some secrets for managing toddler anger well. Stick around for that and a whole lot more coming up on More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak and you right after this.
Don't miss the fun at Our Lady of Scapulars annual Polish Festival in Wyandotte from Friday, August 28th to Sunday, August 30th. Featuring Polish food and live Polish music all 3 days. A grand raffle of $15,000. Vegas tent, rummage sale in the convent yard, bingo, hourly 50-50 raffles, kiddie rides, 30 games of skill, family-style dinners, and much, much more. There's a 12 noon polka mass on Sunday with Pan Pranek and Zosia, the best Polish festival around. This program underwritten by Provident and Affirm Films.
From Provident Films and Affirm Films comes War Room. Tony and Elizabeth Jordan's marriage is turning into a battle, and their daughter is caught in the crossfire until Elizabeth meets Miss Clara.
This is my favorite place in this house. I call it my war room.
And learns that prayer is a powerful weapon. Fighting the good. War Room. In theaters August 28th. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. More information is available at warroomthemovie.com.
This is Henry Root, your host for Putting On the Mind of Christ. For our program this week, we have a very special talk we just recorded. Our speaker is Boston College Professor of Philosophy Peter Kraft. With a pro-euthanasia and pro-abortion presidential candidate and a pro-abortion governor who is backing a state proposal that allows for the virtual unrestricted killing of embryos for their stem cells, Christians have to be informed. We have to unmask the purposely clouded issues being put forth through a $20 million plus advertising campaign. We have to know the truth, and we have to vote according to our faith. Dr. Peter Kraft is a very informed and eloquent teacher who is also a convert to the faith. He'll be addressing the topic of voting as an informed Catholic. This is not a program to be missed. So you're back from Mass. It's not yet dinner time. Won't you join us for a talk by one of the foremost Christian teachers in the world today, Dr. Peter Kraft, teaching on voting as a Catholic? Dr. Kraft will be introduced by Father John Ricardo. Listen this and every Sunday afternoon at 3 for Putting on the Mind of Christ on Ave Maria Radio.
Welcome back. We're so glad to have you with us today on More to Life. I'm Lisa Popchak.
And I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. We're talking with you today about dealing with anger, yours and others. How can we stop being intimidated by it? How can we respond to it effectively and even gracefully? If you are struggling with anger in your life, either your responses in anger to other people or your responses to other people being angry with you, give us a call. Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825, or post your comments and questions at facebook.com/moretolifradio. With that, we are joined right now by Kim Cameron Smith. She is the founder of IntentionalCatholicParenting.com and the founder and editor of the great Catholic resource for parents called Tender Tidings. It's an e-magazine, free e-magazine for Catholic parents, and Kim is here today to talk to us about how we can deal with angry toddlers. Kim, welcome to More to Life.
No one's ever heard of those, right? No angry
toddlers. You know, I was really surprised when you sent that, because I've just never seen an angry toddler before. No, really, no. They're all over the place, it seems like.
The angry toddler, it really either scares or overwhelms parents. It's totally human that we become overwhelmed. But I just want to talk a little bit about some ways parents might respond to a toddler tantrum that are not helpful, and then some helpful tips. So
yeah, and you can almost get a sense of the fact that that happens just by walking through your local Mega Mart. You know, you can see the parents who you just go, Oh, thank God they're the parent of that kid right now, because it's making my day better because they're handling it so well. And then there's the ones that make you want to just run screaming from the store and never go back there again. So talk to us how to be the one that can just make people go, oh, thank goodness they're a parent.
Yeah, let's talk first about common ways that we might handle a toddler's anger that are not helpful. So I just actually read a research article about this, and it was saying that how you handle your toddler's anger can lead later to anxiety, withdrawal, or behavior problems.
In the parents or the kid?
No.
In the kid. We're just kidding.
Makes
we're
the parent withdraw, too. Believe
yeah, no,
me.
But you're right. You're right. I mean, the more the angrier we respond to our toddler's anger, the more it tends to shut them down, right?
Right? Yeah, you know, and so the problem with this, when you either shame the child, like, you know, don't be ridiculous, or you punish the child by sending them to their room or into the naughty chair, the problem with this is that their stress hormones remain high, even though they may stop doing what they're doing because they fear the separation or they fear the punishment. Their stress hormones remain high. And in human beings, when we don't learn to regulate those stress hormones, it leads later to anxiety issues and depression, even in adulthood. Okay, so that's the problem. Then you're thinking, well, what am I supposed to do? Here are some effective ways to handle your toddler's anger and tantrums. The big thing, comfort and calm them. And this seems counterintuitive because some people think, I'm not comforting them because then I'm going to reinforce that bad behavior.
Yeah, I don't want to reward their tantrum, Kim. What are you talking about?
So the reason that it's the most important tip I can give you is because your comforting actually helps to regulate their stress hormones. That all of those hormones are rushing through their bodies. They are literally out of their minds. They're lower, the limbic system and the higher brain, the rational parts of the brain, they are disconnected. They are not online, and they need stress regulation in order to bring those two things together.
And toddlers aren't capable of doing that for themselves. And so
no,
you know, they really
not.
Need mom and dad to cue their bodies, you know, to activate that calm down nervous system. And you can do that because the baby, the toddler, their body listens to mom's heart rate. They listen, if you will, to the way mom or dad are breathing, and they calm down. They set their body rhythms to the parents. That's right.
With mom or dad, who's being that nurturing and calming person. And at that same time, both the parent nurturing the child in that moment and the toddler calm down together. So you both get into a place where you can more logically handle the situation and you feel more close and connected with the child. As far as I'm concerned, that's a win-win. What do you think?
Yeah, definitely. And what you're doing actually is you're training your child's body to handle that stress. And that's something that will...
Now, that's not where it ends, though, because like a lot of people think, well, fine, okay, now the kid's calmer, but that didn't I just reward that bad behavior? And no, because the next step you have done here, which is mentor, it goes to, now I'm going to teach my child what to do.
Yeah, so after the tantrum's over, I talk to my toddler about what happened, like what her feelings were, and I ensure that she makes reparation with anybody she might have hurt, including myself. And I talk about ways that she can handle those feelings better in the future. Realistically, if she's two, she may not be able to handle them better, but at least while she's calm, not during the tantrum, but after she's calmed down, I'm now engaging her rational brain, and I'm beginning to mentor her. And also for me, a big thing is staying calm myself. That's modeling for my child how to handle stress. If I freak out when she's freaking out, that is defeating the purpose. If I tell her calm down, and I'm freaking out, that's a conflicting message.
Now, just to offer a little clarification for listeners, you know, this can when we describe this can really sound like a very verbose sort of thing. You know, we're just talking and talking and talking to the toddler, and it's really not about that. You want to keep it as simple and as short as possible, because they don't have a lot of language, you know, so you don't want to overwhelm them. And you try to focus as much as possible on just rehearsing a simple exchange. You know, say this, boom. Okay, now do that, boom. Great, good job, and you're moving on. It's not a big thing, but you are, in that even that very simple process, teaching them what to do once you've gotten them calm.
Exactly. And that's the big thing for me, is I wait until my child has calmed down in order to engage the mentoring stage.
And then the last step is modeling. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so, you know, it is very human for us to feel angry in response to somebody's anger. That is human. But just remember that our disposition, our countenance, is sending a message to our child. So if we look angry, if we look scared, our children will absorb those messages. So try to remain calm. Keep a calm voice while you're rubbing her back. And when the tantrum's over, you know, have a loving, open expression on your face and hold her, and just, you know, like I said, screaming back at a screaming toddler is the exact opposite of what you want
to
do.
And I want to say, you know, just to parents out there, because we're talking about toddler anger, as your child gets older, and we're saying around, say, six-ish, okay, give or take, you know, that five, six, your child is transitioning into being able to handle more of their own anger, and you're able to be less of a distraction or do less to help them calm down, because now their self-talk has come online at that point, and they can keep their own anger going by saying things like mommy's unfair or this stinks or all that kind of stuff. And so you have to have a different approach for kids who are that age. The approach we're talking about here really works really well for kids 3, 4 and younger. Older than that, different approach. We could talk about that some other time. But these are some great, great tips for dealing with that toddler anger so that we don't get caught up in those power struggles where we feel like we have to fight back against a toddler. And you always lose because they're always willing to go further than we are.
Although I have to say, the idea of helping anyone stay calm and collecting them to you, I know if I'm angry or if I'm losing it, you're going to have a much better response from me if you give me a hug and you know, ask me what's wrong than if you know, come in just telling me what to do to make it better. That time of recollecting that person and helping them know that you got this and we can do it together is going to be successful with people all the way up to, you know, their senior years. It's just going to be good advice for anyone, isn't it, Kim?
Yes, definitely.
Well, Kim, is there any place we can turn to get more information about this or other topics related to intentional Catholic parenting?
Turn to intentionalcatholicparenting.com, and in the next few weeks we'll be coming out with the fall issue of our free magazine, Tender Tidings, so check it out.
Looking forward to that. So you can learn more about that at intentionalcatholicparenting.com. Kim, thanks so much for being with us today. Always a pleasure.
Thank you. God bless.
All right, we are talking with all of you today about dealing effectively with anger, either your own or others. And we're asking you, how do you tend to feel and act when other people behave angrily toward you? You know, when they lash out at you, what happens? Do you handle it well? Are you pleased with your responses? If not, let's talk it out. On the other hand, what about when other people make you angry? You know, are you okay with the way you express anger in your relationships with your kids, with your spouse, with whoever? We want to help you manage all of that more gracefully so that we can really resolve the problems that are provoking the anger and not have to go back to that place again. Because who wants to be angry all the time? 877-573-7825 is the toll-free number to call, 877-573-7825, or post your comments and questions at facebook.com/moretolife radio. That's with the number 2, facebook.com/moretolife radio. We'll be back with more of your questions, comments, and insights about anger after the break. Stick around.
Fully Alive. Reflections on the scripture readings of today's Mass with Father Pat Egan, chaplain of Ave Maria Radio.
Today we remember St. Monica. Her prayers played a huge part in her son Augustine's conversion. He lived a very loose life as a young man, yet he became a great saint and bishop because of her prayers over many long years. So don't despair if you don't get an immediate answer. God hears our prayers and acts on them. Jesus said, "Be prepared for the end of the world. Stay awake, for we don't know on which day the Lord will come. Be alert. Know this, if the householder had known when the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and stopped the break-in." Now he applies that to the end of the world. So you too must be prepared, for the Son of Man will come unexpectedly. Who is the faithful and prudent servant whom the master has put in charge of his house? Blessed is that servant whom his master on his return finds him doing so. And then I say to you, it would have been charged with all his property. What happens, though, if there's a long delay? And the wicked servant says to himself, my master is long delayed, and begins to beat his fellow servants and eat and drink with drunkards. The servant's master will come unexpectedly and at an unknown hour, and he will punish him and assign him a place with the hypocrites, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. That's the punchline. We don't know when the Lord will call us, so be prepared. Jesus saith, stay awake. I'm Father Pat Egan, chaplain to Ave Maria Radio, commenting on the readings read today at Mass. You can reach me on 734-930-3257. And remember, inspired by the Word of God, you can be more fully alive.
Hi, this is Dr. Greg Popchak. Ephesians 5:21 challenges husbands and wives to defer to one another out of reverence for Christ. In this scripture passage, St. Paul reminds us that while husbands and wives both have roles to play, Christ is the head of the house. You see, couples who recognize Christ as the head of their house are already cultivating mutual respect. Respect isn't just general politeness, it's much, much more. It's about making your default attitude toward your spouse one of fondness and admiration. Happy couples know that they each need to learn from the other's positive influence, call their spouse to holiness, and see the inevitable flaws in the other spouse's opportunities to grow in virtue. Cultivate fondness and admiration for your spouse instead of focusing on his or her flaws, and you will grow into a marriage that is truly exceptional. For more Catholic marriage guidance, visit moretoliferadio.com.
Welcome back to More to Life. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we are talking with you today about anger on our show titled Grrr. That's really the title of the show, honestly. Because I thought it sort of sums it up. That's
sums
how we feel
without
when...
using horrible angry words. Just lets it out. Just lets it all out.
And everybody's felt that way before. So if you're feeling that way or someone is feeling that way about you and you're not sure how to deal with it effectively, either way, we're here for you. 877-573-7825, or post your questions about dealing with your anger or other people's anger at facebook.com/moretoliferadio. Let's go right to the phones. Lisa, who's up?
We're talking right now, Greg, with Sarah, listening in Waterford, Michigan.
Hey there, Sarah. Welcome to More to Life. What's up?
Hi. Well, I am a newlywed. We've been married for 1 year. And in this 1 year, we've had a baby and have purchased a house.
Oh, my goodness.
And so lots of stressful things. And
yes.
On top of that, both my husband and I are dealing with past abuse from our parents.
Okay.
And so my husband had very narcissistic parents that didn't meet his needs, and I had a sexually abusive father. And so I find that, you know, he kind of dissociates and is hurt. He has a hard time relating to people, and I am just very angry and anxious all the time, and I've always been that way.
Okay.
And so when it comes to our daughter, she, and we've read some of your book, Then Comes Baby.
Mm-hmm.
She's just very, very fussy. She cries a lot, and, you know, I always make sure her basic needs are met. Is she hungry? You know, does she have a clean diaper? I cuddle her, I love on her, I try to do what I can, and I just find I'm so exhausted, and when she's like this for a long period of time, I just find myself getting so angry with her that even though she's crying, I need to put her down and walk away because...
And that's okay. That's okay. It's good to recognize that. I'm glad that you're seeing that in yourself, and you're able to step away and take that time to calm down. That's really important.
She's in a safe place when you do that. That's actually very life-giving to both of you because you know that you're losing control, and you're saying, I'm just going to step out of here so I can regain control, so I can come back and be the best mom I can be. If she's in a safe place, that's a good step one.
Sarah, let me ask you a question, though. When you're managing her, and what's her name, by the way?
Gemma.
Okay. So when you're managing Gemma well, when you feel like, even if she is fussier, you know, but you're having a better day for some reason, what's working for you?
Well, particularly if I've gotten more sleep, if my husband's taken on more time with her so that I can have a little bit of me time.
Mm-hmm.
But for circumstances I don't really want to go into here because it's too long of a story, my therapist thinks it's best that I do most of the diaper changing and the bathing and stuff like that. So, I mean, I feel like I'm pretty much doing everything on my own. So when he does, you know, say, like, okay, honey, just go take a nap. I'll play with the baby. If I need you, you know, to change diaper or nurse her or whatever, I'll hand her to you. So I feel like on those days when I get some me time, I feel better, and I think she can sense that I feel better, so we have better interaction together. But she's not a baby wearer. We've gone through all of the slings, the carriers, the wraps, and she just does. She's a very long baby, so I think it's uncomfortable for her legs. But I think on the days that it goes well, I have a break from her, and she can sense that I'm calmer, maybe. I'm not sure.
How about those times when you and your husband do these things together? You know, because I think that it can be really helpful. I mean, to get that time apart, sure. But as you say, when a lot of it falls to you, it becomes kind of exhausting. But if the three of you can kind of be together for that, mm-hmm. that bath time or for that play time or that whatever, you know, you don't have to be quite as on, and you're feeling supported and you're able to enjoy your daughter together, and it becomes more of a bonding moment as opposed to a chore. How much of that do you guys do?
We do a lot of that because I noticed that when she's with my husband and I, she's very fussy, but when, like, if she's watched by my mom or if we're in a new environment, she's a lot more calm and at peace, it seems, when, you know, there's other people around. So with my husband and I, it's not like, you know, we can all be a happy family. She's either crying in his arms or crying in my arms, and we play like hot potato babies, so...
All right. Well, one thing I'm picking up on here is, you know, children are amazing barometers mm-hmm. of our own emotional stress, and you know, when I was sharing earlier, okay, actually with Kim, we were talking about how small children, they set their body rhythms to mom and dad's body rhythm, and if mm-hmm. you guys are stressed out, then her heart rate is mirroring your heart rate, her breathing is mirroring your breathing, and her nervous system is attuning to your nervous system, okay? When your mom's watching her, mom's calmer, her baby's calmer, mm-hmm. okay? So the most important thing when you're with Gemma is to make sure that you're trying to focus on calming your own body down. What you want to be really concentrating on, you mentioned that you have a therapist. You want to be working with your therapist on different strategies for getting your physical self under control. A simple technique would be what they call a 4-7-8 breathing technique, where you breathe in for 4, you hold your breath for 7, and then you release it for the count of 8. And you just do that for a good minute. Just breathe in for 4, hold it for the count of 7, breathe out for 8, and you'd be surprised, as simple as that is, you know, it really does a lot to engage the parasympathetic nervous system, your calm down nervous system, slow your heart rate, slow your respiration, and get your physical self under control so that she can pick up on that. As opposed to the tension that you're feeling of, I've got to get this kid under control. I've got to help calm her down. What can I do? I'm screwing this up. Oh, you know, and all that tension is going on inside of you. It's feeding the tension that she's feeling, which also explains, by the way, why she didn't like being close to you in the sling.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because the more she was with you, the more she's picking up on all the stress that's going on inside and all the tension, because she's setting her rhythms to you. So the key here, I really believe, is getting yourself physically calmer, not by getting away, but in the moment, by breathing through it, slowing down, closing your eyes, thinking of the reasons that you love her, concentrating on God's love for you, on times when you feel love, when you feel peaceful, really calling those things to mind and getting yourself into a place that can be as sort of calm and centered as possible, so that both of you can feed on that and you can actually enjoy being in each other's presence instead of feeding on the stress that's fueling all this. Does that make sense, Sarah?
Yeah, it does. And, you know, when I feel those times, I'll try to you know, put her down so that she can kind of play with her. I'll give her some toys that she can play with or lay her on her little, you know, play mat. And she'll be content for maybe a half an hour. And then as soon as she sees me, she starts crying. I don't know if it's she's bored or she wants to be held, and then I hold her and she's still crying, so then I put her back down and then she
well,
cries
again, no,
harder.
But again, okay, but see what I'm saying to you, okay, you're picking her up and you're stressed at that point because she's crying.
But I'd
and
like
she's
you to
feeding
hold
off of the stress.
Her and
hold
do
her
the
and calm down at
the
same time.
So she
okay.
can actually feel you
calming
pulling
down.
That breath, holding that breath, letting it out. Do that two or three times, then begin trying to make eye contact with her while you do it. And
okay.
let her begin to feel your body relax
calming
and
down.
See the work that you're doing.
So that you are using your connection with her and calming down at the same time, as opposed to right now, which is, oh my gosh, she's crying, and then I'm going to run around from thing to thing, making myself more stressed and her more stressed in the process of trying to calm us both down. Do you see what we're saying?
Yeah.
Okay, I got to let you go with that, Sarah, but that should get you started. Share, if you want to, download the podcast, okay? Share what we're saying with your therapist and you know, review the sections in Then Comes Baby about, you know, about attunement. In those early chapters where we talk about attunement and really read about how your little one feeds off of whatever it is that you're physically sending to her and different ways that we talk about in the book about calming down from there. And if there's more that we can do to support you, don't hesitate to follow up here with a call. God bless you, and thanks so much for your call, Sarah. We're going to add you to our More to Life prayer list here, and we're happy to support you in any other ways we can. Glad that you reached out to us today. All right, we have to take a break. When we come back, we're continuing to talk with you about anger on our show titled Grrr. As we all talk about how we can deal more effectively with our own anger and the anger that other people feel toward us. 877-573-7825. We're Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak, and we'll be back with you right after this.
You might have seen a copy of the Michigan Catholic newspaper sitting in the back of your church, but have you picked one up lately? If so, you'll find we're not only Catholic news you can trust, but Catholic news you can use. Find out where your favorite priest is being assigned, read our popular Q&A columns, and learn more about your faith by reading the Michigan Catholic. Talk to your pastor or call 313-224-8000 or visit themichigancatholic.com.
More to Life is brought to you in part by the Ave Maria Mutual Funds, investment funds that are designed and screened to be pro-life and pro-family. Six different Ave Maria mutual funds are available to help you reach your long-term investment objectives, smart investing, and Catholic values. The number to learn more about the Ave Maria mutual funds is 866-AVE-MARIA. That's 866-283-6274 or at AveMariaFunds.com.
Pastor Don Piper died January 18, 1989, when a semi-tractor truck crushed his car. Declared dead by the first rescue workers to arrive on the scene, Don's body lay under a tarp for the next 90 minutes. Meanwhile, Don's soul, he maintains, was experiencing love, joy, and life like he had never known before. Don believes he was in heaven. The film 90 Minutes in Heaven is based on the inspiring New York Times best-selling book that has sold 7 million copies. The film is being released on September 11th, but listeners to Ave Maria Radio have an opportunity to see the film ahead of time. On Tuesday, September 1st, Ave Maria Radio is sponsoring a free pre-screening at the Rave Theater on Carpenter Road in Ann Arbor. Once again, that's September 1st, 7 p.m. at the Rave Theater in Ann Arbor. For more information and to register, go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the 90 Minutes in Heaven banner.
Welcome back. More to Life, the show that helps you live a more abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body. I'm Lisa Popchak.
And I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. We're talking with you today about anger, both dealing with your own anger more effectively and the times when other people are angry with you. 877-573-7825. Who's up next, Lisa?
We're talking right now, Greg, with Vivian, listening in Texas on the Guadalupe Radio Network.
Hey, Vivian. Welcome to More to Life.
Hi. Yeah. I'm trying to find out this information regarding anger. I married my husband. He's somebody that is always trying to listen to people's problem and try to help. But after helping, it comes a backfire that we will be the one getting angry, getting a problem from the help that he rendered. That's supposed to
let me summarize here what I'm hearing you say so far. Okay, so your husband, generally speaking, tries to be helpful to other people, but sometimes it all kind of adds up for him, and he starts lashing out in anger. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, the anger comes from the people that he helps instead of.
So he's trying to help people.
Yeah,
and he's
to help
getting
people.
Angry instead.
And so how does that affect you?
It affects me because we're both of us are the same family, and they look at it like, oh, the wife is the one doing this, the wife is the one trying to bring a problem. So now I become angry. Listening to what I did not do.
Okay.
And they cannot talk to me. It will be like the news and the one that caused these people to be dead. So I look at it like, can I tell my husband not to listen to any problem of relations or anything? Because
okay.
All the help that he renders is like, it comes to me like a
sure.
angry issue.
All right, Vivian, let me offer you some thoughts on this. Now, you know, when a person, and this, you know, this goes back to what we were talking about with Kim Cameron Smith, and she mentioned in passing two different parts of the brain, the limbic system and your upper brain, your cortex. And your limbic system is the one that's responsible for all our reactions, including anger. And the cortex, the higher brain, is supposed to help us mediate those responses so that, you know, we can feel angry but not necessarily lash out. Well, when we get too angry, that higher brain goes offline, and then we just become this ball of reaction. And nothing we say is really rational, nothing we feel is really rational, we're just lashing out at people. And we all go to that place, some people more than others, and it sounds like your husband is having a hard time staying out of that place. Now, you know, so what does the person on the receiving end of that do about it? Well, the worst thing you can do is try to reason the other person out of their anger. The more you engage somebody when they're lashing out of that kind of limbic response, the worse it gets. Because what they're really saying, no matter what the words they're using, what they're actually saying is, I'm hurt and I'm angry and I don't know what to do about it. And the more you try to talk them through it or tell them to calm down or whatever, you know, the worse it's going to get. The only thing you can really do when somebody is reacting in that tantrum-y way that you're describing is to set a boundary that says, where you empathize and then set the limit, but then offer a way forward. Okay, and those three steps. You empathize, you set the limit, and then you offer a way forward. Empathize means you say something like, you are really struggling right now, honey. I am so sorry to see that you're so frustrated. And, you know, you say it sincerely, because you are. You're sad that he feels so bad right now. But then you say, and I would love to talk to you about this when you can calm down a little bit and approach me in a different way, because I'm having a hard time taking in what you're saying when you're talking to me like this. And then the third thing is where you point a way forward. You say, so, you know, when you can do that, let's talk about this. So you're giving him the way forward. You're not saying, I'm not going to talk to you. You're not saying, you know, shame on you for losing it. You're saying, when you can calm down, then we can talk about it. So you're empathizing, setting the limit, and showing a way forward. Now, he'll probably get angrier still at first. And what do you mean, me calm down? I'm perfectly calm. You're the one who, you know, tries to put it on you. You just use the broken record technique at that point and keep repeating that same sentence over and over again. I'm so sorry you feel that way, honey, but when you can calm down, then we can talk about it. But as long as you're like this, I just don't know what I can do to help you. And everything I say is going to be wrong, so I don't want to be in that place. So let's all calm down and we can try it again. And then he flips out again, you know, and he goes off on his little tantrum and he's like, I'm so sorry you feel that way, honey. But like I said, and you just keep saying it. And at some point, he's going to realize that he's beating his head against a wall. And it's not any fun, so he's going to go off and go calm down. And then when he comes back, then you can finally have a conversation. But if you engage him beyond that, if you try to explain why he shouldn't feel that way, if you try to defend yourself or justify yourself, if you try to explain anything, it'll all be a disaster. Because when somebody is in that limbic state of mind where they're just reacting and not really reasoning, then anything you say can and will be used against you. Vivian, I want to thank you for the call. If there's more that we can do to support you through this, don't hesitate to contact us through the Pastoral Solutions Institute's telephone counseling practice. Sometimes these situations can be more than one can handle on their own. And if you're feeling emotionally unsafe in some way, especially if you're feeling physically unsafe, then make sure that you're reaching out for the help that you need to be able to set boundaries that protect your safety in those times. But assuming that that's not the case, then these ideas that we've put out here for you today will definitely help you move forward in a healthier and more satisfying ways in these discussions. Thanks for the call, Vivian. You know, it's tough to be on the receiving end of somebody else's anger. But,
so tough.
You know, the reality is, if we can do what I was just sharing with Vivian, right, we remember it has nothing to do with us. When a person's in that limbic state of mind, it really does not have anything to do with us, because they'd talk to the dog or the lamppost or anybody else the same way they're talking to us. It says, I'm hurt and I'm angry and I don't know what to do about it. You just happen to be standing in the way, right? So the best thing for you to do is get out of the way. And just say, I'm really sorry that you're struggling so much right now. I'm so sad to see you so frustrated and angry. But when you can calm down and we can kind of work through this, I would be happy to be here for you. Let's work it out together. And send them on that mission to get a handle on that anger. That's all the time we've got for today's show, folks. Thanks so much for calling in and sharing a little bit of your experience with us. We hope that you've picked up a few good tips on how to deal with anger more effectively. And if you'd like to learn more about managing all of your emotions and relationships in a more graceful way, come on over to our website, moretoliferadio.com, where you can check out our books, our podcasts, and other recordings, and learn more about the Pastoral Solutions Institute's telephone counseling practice, where you can work with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor who can help transform your marriage, family, or personal life. Again, that's at moretoliferadio.com, or just call to make an appointment at 740-266-6461. That's the Pastoral Solutions Institute's telephone counseling appointment line, 740-266-6461. And remember, with God's grace, there is so much more to life. Don't you dare settle. Have a blessed day.
More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak is produced by Ave Maria Radio in association with the Pastoral Solutions Institute. Find out more at moretoliferadio.com. More to Life is made possible on Ave Maria Radio in part by CatholicBusinessPages.com, building community one business at a time. CatholicBusinessPages.com. More to Life, the life you were meant to live.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
This is Lavinia Spirito for Catholic Way Bible Study. In the Gospel of John, Jesus accompanies his mother to a wedding at Cana in Galilee. At that time and place, a wedding celebration lasted several days, but early in the celebration, disaster strikes. They run out of wine. Mary, ever sensitive to others' needs, sees the problem and asks her son to do something. Confident that he will do what is needed, she tells the servants, "Do whatever he tells you," and is proved right. Jesus performs his first public miracle and turns water into wine. Not just any wine, but an excellent vintage, bringing honor to his hosts and saving the day. Even now, Mary is telling us to do whatever Jesus tells you. Even now, she points and directs us to her son. Even now, we have a mother in heaven who watches over us. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us.
Catholic Way Bible Study. Peace, power, purpose. Find out more at cwbs.org.
If you're interested in a Catholic education after high school, come to a free Catholic college and university fair Wednesday, September 9th at Cleary University in Howell. Students and parents will speak with reps from 25 Catholic colleges and universities regarding the benefits of a Catholic education, navigating financial aid and scholarship opportunities, and maintaining and growing their faith.